Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Good afternoon, Juno. It's 3 o'clock, and it's time for Juno Afternoon for Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host today. And today we're going to find out about this weekend's hospice fun run with Colleen Jones and Joni Pico. We'll focus on Friday's Woosh Kennedy Showcase fundraiser at the Rookery. And Paul Davis will be here to highlight musical activities in Whitehorse. We'll also get an update on the activities at Eagle Crest. All this plus a lot of music from people involved in the folk festival today. Lots more to come. Stay tuned. National Native News is up first.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Lakota Star Knowledge is a documentary commissioned by the Journey Museum in Rapid City, South Dakota. Students from Pine Ridge schools have screened the film. Filmmakers say they're encouraged to learn that the children are familiar with the stories. It's scheduled for a public showing this month. Victoria Wicks has more about the film.
Kristen Waters of Shannon County Virtual High School is one of many students who say they have heard the stories in Lakota Studies classes in reservation schools.
I've been told a lot of them stories, but then over throughout I was growing up, then I forgot, and then seeing that video, I bring it back to me.
When they asked how many kids had heard these stories before, every hand went up.
Film director Sam Hurst says the evaluation after the film showed how alive the Lakota culture is in our modern world.
I think what Craig Howe did brilliantly was blend the science of astronomy with the cultural philosophy of the integration of the stars and Earth.
Historian Craig Howe narrates the 30-minute film, telling stories of the sun and moon, who are husband and wife and used to travel together, and of the creation of Matutipula, known in English as Devil's Tower. Howe gives credit to teachers who are now passing along Lakota cultural stories and getting children invested in learning.
Those stories, they're just great literature is what I call them. And it gives you some really clear insight into Lakota philosophy, but just on their face value as literature, they're wonderful.
Filmmakers say they tried to give reverence and respect to the beliefs of ancient people and the foundations of Lakota philosophy without passing judgment on the astrophysics of those beliefs. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
An Oklahoma tribe is offering a series of workshops to help preserve history. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
The Cherokee Nation Cultural Tourism Department is offering a series of workshops on historic preservation, starting with a class on guns. The courses begin later this month at the Cherokee National Prison Museum in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, with a course about protecting and preserving antique firearms. Other workshops in the series that runs through the summer include preserving gravestones and family heirlooms like pots and baskets. Other courses will focus on taking care of family photographs and documents and how to conduct genealogical research. Rick Parker, the owner of a conservation company in Arkansas, leads the antique gun preservation class. He's worked on objects from the White House, Mount Vernon, as well as individual presidential collections. Registration for the program is online at visitcherokeenation.com. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
The Navajo Nation Gaming Enterprise announced Tuesday its partnership with the Navajo Agricultural Products Industry, which produces the Navajo Pride brand of foods. The Navajo products will be served to guests at three of the tribe's casinos in Arizona and New Mexico. According to the Gaming Enterprise, not only is it adding more local foods to the menu, but it's financially beneficial to Navajo farmers. Navajo Gaming will include two types of flour, pinto beans, and potatoes in its entrees and plans to expand as additional products are in season or needed. The Navajo Pride brand is owned and operated by Navajo people. Today we remember Wilma Mankiller. She was the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. Mankiller passed away in April 2010, shortly after it was announced she had cancer. Mankiller held elective office for more than a decade and was an advocate for American Indians. The 2013 film, The Cherokee Word for Water, tells the story of the work that led to her leadership of the Oklahoma tribe. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Supported by Sacred Wind Community Connect, providing scholarships and internet training to the Navajo Nation and Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico. Sacred Wind believes broadband can reinforce Native cultures and offer means for self-determination. SacredWindCommunications.com. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And a public service announcement before we get started. The UAA Center for Human Development and the Alaska State Council on the Arts are hosting forums on careers in the arts for individuals with disabilities. The forums will offer opportunities for participants to listen to presentations, participate in discussions, and brainstorm innovative ways to support and promote careers in the arts for individuals with disabilities. You can attend these forums from 1 to 5 tomorrow, April 10th, at the Juneau Downtown Public Library. And now my first guests in the studio are Colleen Jones and Joni Pico, and they are here to tell us about this weekend's Hospice Fun Run and what the Juneau Hospice and Home Care does here in Juneau. Good afternoon, ladies. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. The Juneau Hospice and Home Care. And Joni, you said you were going to talk a little bit about that. What exactly does your organization do here?
Our organization provides hospice services and home care services for people in our community. There are a range of things that are provided, including nursing care, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and bereavement services for people who have lost a loved one. It's a comprehensive team of professional people working together to meet the needs of people in our community. People can be referred to Hospice and Home Care of Juneau through a local physician, and they are also able to self-refer and hook up with us by calling our phone number and taking it from there. This Saturday, we're having a fun run, a major fundraising event, and Colleen Jones has been working hard at that for a long time now.
Oh, well, we've all been pitching in, but yes, it's our ninth annual Heart of Hospice Run Walk. So we have a 1 mile run or walk or a 5K run or walk, and it's at Twin Lakes at 9 o'clock in the morning. So please come before that to either register, or if you've pre-registered, we have t-shirts for the first 125 participants. And we just would love as many to come out and show their support to hospice and home care. The price for the cost for the race is $20 for pre-registered for 18 and older, and then $15 for 18 and under if you pre-register. If you want to register the morning of the race, we ask for $25 and $20 for 18 and under. So.
All right, Colleen, and this is the ninth year. How has this gone over in previous years?
Oh, I think it's grown, actually, since I've been with hospice. We had a great turnout last year, more than the previous year, and we had fabulous weather, and I know it's going to be sunny and gorgeous again for us. And I think it's going to just grow and grow still. So we've had a fabulous turnout before, and I'm hoping that we'll beat our record last year.
Hey, no guarantees, but right now it says Saturday partly cloudy with high around 48. So.
Oh, that's warm enough. That's good. Partly cloudy, we can handle.
That's a great day in Juneau. Yeah.
It's better than snow, and any way you look at it, it's spring.
Of course. And can you tell me anything about how many success stories that you've had with hospice and home care? Has there been anything that's been, you know, stand out since you've started with them?
With people who receive services at hospice and home care? I can think that there are many people who have received home care services who eventually are discharged from hospice and home care because they have rehabilitated in any which way they need, or they've recovered from their surgery, or have in any number of ways made their way through the healthcare system successfully. Those are success stories for sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And hospice, you know, the hospice part of it, it's successful if a family feels they're supported in the patient and they get to choose to be in their home at this stage in life. And we hope that we provide the services that make them comfortable and the family feel supported in a variety of ways. So we've had many successful, experiences that most people are very grateful for what we offer. And I think Juno really wants to keep hospice alive and healthy here. So, but this fundraiser is one way to help us stay, vibrant. We actually, we accept anyone, regardless of whether they've got insurance or their form of payment. So these funds that we raise go to help supplement all of our services.
End of life care is, I guess you could say that there are philosophies about end of life care, and that we all are living until it's time for us to pass away, and the quality of life enhancement that's provided to a family and to a patient at that time is really a spectacular sort of thing to be able to benefit from.
Okay, very worthwhile. And Colleen, here's your chance to plug your sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
So please thank the ones that are helping out with this.
Oh, we've been, very, very grateful for the sponsors from Bartlett Regional Hospital to Valley Medical to Rainforest Pediatrics, Southeast Medical Center. I don't even have all the list in front of me. Everybody's been so good. The Alaska, oh, good, he's handing it to me.
I have a list on stuff that I had.
From Valley Lumber and Costco and Foggy Mountain. The list goes on, and we will for sure, we've got your names on our posters, and we'll definitely get a thank you in the paper. But again, the run is and walk is just a wonderful event to support hospice and home care. We just encourage everyone to come out and show that. We also have some prizes at the end of the race. Those that participate, we have a random drawing of all of those that show up, and we've got some great gifts to give out at the end. So if that'll entice you, please come.
Okay, and please remind everybody where they need to go if they want additional information on the event.
You can pre-register at Foggy Mountain, both Alaska clubs, Pavitt's, Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, also at our office. You can get also a registration form online at Southeast Alaska Roadrunners. They have our registration form on their website. Just come to the morning of.
The telephone number of hospice and home care is 463-6111, and anybody there can also help you register, answer any other questions you may have about the event.
All right, Joni, and can they find you online too?
We're under this Catholic Community Services website.
Right.
And so, yes, they can definitely find us there on Hospice and Home Care. There's a tab.
Okay. Colleen, Joni, thank you very much for being our guests in the studio today. And it seems like today in Juneau, for the last few days and for the next few to come, the hills are sort of alive with the sound of music, with the folk festival in town. So I would like to play a song by our guest artists for our 2014 folk festival. This is Bonsoir Catan with their song Je suis pas après chercher. And that is not my best French, but here it is.
Pour un mari dans sa quelqu'un pour frais. Jusqu'à quel bon pied.
2014 Folk Festival guest artist Bonsoir Catan with Je suis pas après chercher. And again, that is not my best French. But I've got one other announcement to read. The Augustus Brown Swimming Pool will be closed from 11:45 a.m. till the end of the day on Tuesday, April 15th, for a repair to the lap pool's pump. Facility will operate on a regular schedule as follows. 6:30 to 8 a.m. will be lap swim, 8 to 9 is school district, and 11 to 11:45 is senior stretch program. Any questions regarding the early closure of the Augustus Brown Pool for Tuesday, April 15th, 2014, may be answered at 586-5325. And my guest now in the studio is Paul Davis. He's here from the Folk Society of Whitehorse. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi, Ken. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. It's great to have you in the studio with us. It seems like everything is folk festival oriented right now. Again, like I said, the hills are alive with the sound of music.
Oh, I know. I can tell all these people looking around saying, those faces don't belong here. They've come for the folk festival.
Yeah, it's all new people. Yeah.
Visitors. Different faces. Well, we're going to do something a little similar, and I'm just here to talk about two sort of linked folk fests that are happening out there. Just little one-night coffee houses, okay? But what we do is we do have people who have critical jobs. They can't get time off to come down here, or they have mean bosses. Bosses, let your people go to the folk fest. This is important. So what we do is we call it the Yukon Alaska Show in Whitehorse, and we invite people the week after the folk fest to come up and do a coffee house with us. Now, Skagway does the same thing. And to make it tricky, theirs is on Friday. Ours is on Saturday, so if you look at the ferry schedule, you could go out on the Wednesday boat and then do something else in Skagway. Take in the International Folk Festival in Skagway, which is Friday, April the 18th, and then cross the border the next day and go to the one in Whitehorse, which we call the Yukon Alaska Show. But they're two little folk coffee houses, and we try and draw up people who are here maybe for the Folk Fest and are making their way home, and for our local people, people might not have been able to get away to go down here to Juneau and take in the fest. It's been going on for a long time. On our side, I don't know how long it's been going on. On the Skagway side, they call it the 28th annual, okay? And I have their posters, although it's not really my event, but I'll talk about their event first, so get a pencil if you want to go and sing, okay? So it's called, they call it in Skagway, the International Folk Festival. It's Friday, April the 18th. It's 7 p.m. until the finale, and it's in the Eagles Hall, okay, Broadway at 6th. So they usually do it in a church, but it's the Easter long weekend, so they're in the Eagles Hall. And they just want you to plan a 15-minute set, and you can go to skagwayartscouncil.blogspot.com. And if you want to actually sing on stage your little 15-minute set, you should talk to Rennie Kohler. And her email, and I'll say this again, is tokyoariel@hotmail.com, tokyoariel, like A-R-I-E-L, like Shakespeare, at hotmail.com, or you can leave your message at 907-983-3222. So that's the Friday night. We always tell the Canadians, bring your passports. I'm not sure about Americans, but Canadians, we always say, bring your passport.
Well, we're going to have to bring ours, too. If you're going up the White Horse, you're going into Canada. You got to have one.
Yeah. So that's the Friday night. And again, you can leave a message if you want to sing at 907-983-3222 or tokyoariel@hotmail.com. That's the Friday night. And then Saturday night in Whitehorse, we have what we call our Yukon Alaska show. And it's at the United Church, which is the Clay Cliffs end of Main Street. And ours is a little different event. It's a potluck at 4:30 p.m. And then we set up at 5 and 5:30 p.m. And then we actually start the show at 7. And if you want to sing on that, get your pen and pencil. You need to phone Ray. And Ray is at area code 867-633-4580. That's 867-633-4580. And you want to be ready to do kind of like three songs, and we might ask people to take two if we have a really big turnout. So that's Saturday, April the 19th. That's at the United Church, 6 in Main, and the number for that is 867-633-4580. It's a super show. We've had people, depending on the ferry schedule, who come up here, and we get to see them, even if we haven't been able to go to the fest. We have people who come in from Pelican, and they kind of, you know, they make their way through. We also have our local people who are also interested in doing the last open stage of the season, because we go quiet in the summertime, and we don't start up again until October, although we contribute as the Folk Society. We contribute to Arts in the Park. So if you're ever in Whitehorse for a rendezvous or something in the summertime, there's Arts in the Park, ask at the Vista Reception Center, and they'll show you where to go, and that's live acoustic music, and bring tunies and your lunch, and it's outside, and we do that sort of May through August, and then we don't start coffee houses again until October. So once it gets dark, you can think about doing coffee houses again.
All right, Paul, what differentiates what we do at Centennial Hall from a coffee house event?
You guys do folk on an industrial scale. It just blows my mind. Like
it's a little bit overblown here, but yeah.
Yeah, like I was just signing in for volunteering to sell stuff at the AFS desk, memberships and shirts and stuff, and it was like three deep there, so I kept on going back to sign up, and finally I got my volunteer hours signed up. But when I left, it had started with two or three people who were jamming in a corner, and then there were 20. It's like this symphonic jamming that goes on. So your thing is this big, and it's all over town. And because Alaska's got, 600,000 or more people in it, it's just, it's like, it's sort of 20 times bigger than all the Yukon put together. So, and it's in all the hotels, whereas ours, it really is just a coffee house. I mean, Skagway, no offense to the people in Skagway, they call it their International Folk Festival. I would call it a nice little coffee house, right? But ours is a much, much smaller event, but it's a very sought-after stage because, like yours, these are dry events, and all of our communities have, you know, an unfortunate relationship with alcohol. So these are dry events. These were some of the first non-smoking events at a time before we had the controls that we have on tobacco now. So these have always been really premium spots for people who come to really listen to music. Yours is just way more humongously big than ours is. It's kind of unfathomable. Like, I try to explain to the nice people at U.S. Customs, say, what are you going down for this folk festival? I say, well, it's like this really big dry music festival, and like, everybody's listening to the music, and everybody has a set, and I don't tell them about the red light. We don't have the red light. You guys are so big, you have the institutionalized red light. It's behind this cut-in-half tomato juice can, and it has an electric light bulb and a switch, and that tells the performers when their 15 minutes is up. And the rumor is that if you start another song after they've shown you the red light, you don't get to come back. I have no idea if that's true or not, but we don't have that kind of organized culture about it. We just tell people to usually prepare three songs, and Ray Tucker, who's the phone number that I give, and I'll give you this is the White Horse sign-up number if you want to phone in. It's 867-633-4580. And if you missed the Skagway one for Rennie Coeur, it's 907-983-3222. So, but both of these are really small events, but they are designed to give a flavor not only to the people that are in the Juno AFF thing, but also in our local communities.
Right, so please highlight again which days these are. It's Friday night and it's Saturday night.
So if you want to go to Skagway, it's Friday night, okay, that'll be at the Eagles Hall. And if you want to sing, get your pencil out. I'm going to give you the number now. The telephone number is 907-983-3222. So that's Friday is Skagway, and then Saturday is White Horse. And that'll be at the United Church, which is 6 in Main. And the telephone number, if you want to sing on the open stage in Whitehorse for the Saturday, April the 19th, is area code 867-633-4580. And that's Ray Tucker, who does the arts wrangling, so he figures out who gets onto the open stage.
Okay, very good. Paul Davis, thank you very much for filling us in on the Folk Society. And are you... How big is the Folk Society in Whitehorse? I mean, it's not like three guys in a room, is it?
Well, no, but it is actually it's sort of an anarchist collective, right? Like, because there's more government sort of in the Yukon maybe than in Alaska, we all have to be registered on the Societies Act. So I'm the president for the Societies Act, but it's a collective of about 20 people that come together to make this happen. And we did a logistics review, so we put all of our equipment on these wheeled garden carts, so we don't have to lift anything, and it's real slick to put the show together in a church. We store that in a secure area in the church that's key controlled and alarm protected. So it's about 20 people. It's not the gigantic thing that the AFF is here. You know, we don't have two different venues. We have a church basement. We have our own risers, and this year, if you've been there before, people, it's better. We have wobble proof. We left the plywood era. We actually bought theatrical quality risers, so when you step up, people don't feel like they're in an earthquake where the plywood is kind of wobbling. We've left that behind. So yeah, but it is a collective of about 20 people, and it's mostly just run by emails. We just say, we need to do this, and then there's an email that goes around, and we decide. And then we talk about it if we have to at the next coffee house. So it's pretty simple, really.
Okay, Paul Davis from the Folk Society of Whitehorse, thank you very much for being our guest in the studio today.
Hey, thanks, Ken. We'll see you all there. Take care. Enjoy the fest.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 9th of April, 2014. It's the anniversary of the founding of the world's oldest public library. 1833 in Peterborough, New Hampshire, founded by a Unitarian minister named Abiel Abbott. And as a result of the founding of that library in Peterborough, in 1849, the New Hampshire State Legislature became the first in the country to pass a law giving towns the right to raise money to establish their own public libraries. 1859, on this date, 23-year-old Samuel Clemens, after 2 years of apprenticeship, got his steamboat pilot license. He was a pilot for 2 years until the Civil War came along and stopped steamboat traffic on the Mississippi River. Looking back, Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, wrote, "I loved that profession far better than any I have followed since, and I took a measureless pride in it." 1865, on this day, Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant, effectively ending the Civil War. They met at a house in Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. They spent a little time reminiscing. General Grant reminded General Lee that he had met General Lee before when they were serving in the Mexican War, and that he remembered him very well. And General Lee told General Grant that he heard that the two of them had met, but he couldn't quite remember this. And then they talked about the terms for the end of the war, and Grant wrote them down on paper, and Lee accepted them on the spot. It's the birthday of Charles Baudelaire, born to a wealthy family in Paris, 1821, who published just one collection of poetry, Les Fleurs de Mal, The Flowers of Evil, in 1857. It's the birthday of Gregory Pincus, the scientist, Woodbine, New Jersey, 1903, taught at Harvard, did research on sexual physiology in mammals. He did an in vitro fertilization of rabbits in 1934, then lost his position at Harvard, and later, working under the sponsorship of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, Gregory Pincus and his co-worker Min-Chu Chang did research on a pill to stop ovulation using the hormone progesterone and created the first birth control pills, which came out in 1960. And today is the birthday of Hugh Hefner, born in Chicago, 1926, who in 1953, using $600 that he borrowed from a bank, using the furniture from his apartment as collateral, brought out the first issue of Playboy magazine. Here's a poem for today by William Wordsworth, entitled Written in March. The cock is crowing, the stream is flowing, the small birds twitter, the lake doth glitter, the green field sleeps in the sun. The oldest and youngest are at work with the strongest. The cattle are grazing, their heads never raising. There are 40 feeding like one. Like an army defeated, the snow hath retreated, and now doth fare ill on the top of the bare hill. The plowboy is whooping anon, anon. There's joy in the mountains, there's life in the fountains. Small clouds are sailing, blue sky prevailing, the rain is over and gone. William Wordsworth's Written in March. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Anchor Bay Entertainment with August Osage County, directed by John Wells and starring Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts on Blu-ray and DVD. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., but it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early when treatment works best. If you're 50 or older, talk with your doctor. Decide which screening test is right for you, and please get screened for colorectal cancer. This message is brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
Hey everyone, this is Todd Grebe of Todd Grebe and Cold Country. We're longtime Alaskans who play American roots music with a honky-tonk flavor. Join me and my band for a special Folk Fest edition live television recording for the new Alaska Original Series on 360 North. We'll play an hour concert on April 12th during the dinner break on the Saturday of Folk Fest in the new At 360 performance space at KTOO and 360 North. Admission is free, doors open at 4:30, and cameras roll at 5. Hope to see you there.
It's 3:34 p.m., and you're back with Juno Afternoon. I've got one song by Todd Grevy and Cold Country to play after this next segment runs. But right now, my guests are Christy Nami Erickson and Bill Merck, and they're going to talk about the Woosh Kina Day April Showcase Fundraiser. Did I get the name right?
You did.
That's
tough. Nice work.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's our litmus test, really.
Thanks.
You passed.
That's a rough one, though.
But thanks for having us on. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, Bill, and tell us about the Showcase Fundraiser.
Well, actually, Christy, do you want to talk to that? You're kind of the spearhead behind this.
Sure. So Woosh Kina Day, you know, we've been rolling here for about maybe 4 years, doing monthly open mic and poetry slams, and we've been super grassroots about it. We haven't had any institutional funding. We've just been reliant on our volunteers and whatever people will give us at the door. We've received cash and candy and gemstones, all that stuff. But we really are looking to try to create a little bit more sustainability with our organization and, you know, pay some folks who've been volunteering all these years, maybe get a permanent rental space, etc. So we're doing the April Showcase fundraiser, hoping to make it an annual event as a way to kind of build that sustainability, financial sustainability. So anyway, the format of the event is a mix of poets performing work alongside a musician. So it's something kind of cool, a little bit unique that we haven't really done a lot with yet in this town. And the poets are just some of our best poets, and Bill can talk a little bit more about that in a moment, that we've teamed up with J.R. Rosales, a young, super talented musician in town. We've partnered with the Rookery to do it over one of their famous five-course meals, and it's one night only next Friday.
Sounds delicious. Okay. What kind of meals are we talking?
We could run down the menu if you really were interested. We'd love to do that. It is a five-course meal starting with a spinach salad, have Dungeness crab fritter, portobello steam bun with pickled carrots, duck pho, lemongrass duck sausage, sprouts, herbs, rice noodles, and topped off with a Thai iced tea cheesecake.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm hosting with DJ, but I'm thinking about quitting the hosting job just so I can eat dinner.
No.
Or not. I'm going to nibble off of all the guests. It really is looks like a fabulous menu, and we're really thankful that our friends at the Rookery really created a custom dishes for us, for the evening.
Okay, and Bill, we talked a while back, but who won the last Poetry Slam?
Who did win the last Poetry Slam?
Shh.
I'm drawing a complete...
This is what happens. It's the friendliest competition in town, so we don't always remember the winner. That would have been in March at Thunder Mountain High School. Oh, it was the young man who was from Juneau, the Poetry Out Loud winner, and he just took second runner-up at the State Poetry Out Loud. What is that gentleman's name?
Last name is Solis.
Solis.
Right?
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't.
That's okay. So it's a friendly competition. It isn't like, you're going down.
Rarely.
No, it's
unless
not like
it's been
that.
In metaphor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But this is, just to reiterate, it's a different format this month. You know, usually it's a open mic and a poetry slam, and this is the first time in 4 years that we've skipped the open mic and poetry slam, and we put in a different event. It's a non-competitive event. We've hand-selected some of our top poets. They're out there revising, working on, memorizing some of their best poems, and then they're going to be rehearsing with J.R. Rosales. So it's really a show that we're wanting to present to people, a real formal performance of some really solid work.
Some of the poets you're going to be hearing are pretty familiar if you come to our monthly events. Nathan Block is a young man from the college who's very passionate. His work is very, very amazing. Selma Huck is going to be also performing. She was at the Folk Fest last night, did a fabulous performance. She's outstanding. She's 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible. Christy and DJ, of course, are going to be there doing the hosting, and hopefully we can have them, you know, throw some words around the room. That would be awesome. Mike Christensen, also very well known as a poet around town. He's going to be there, and Mike's always entertaining. Jacqueline Boucher is also going to be there. And then Conrad Frank, who helped co-host the October Slam 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So we're very excited about this.
Totally. Our community of poets is as diverse as it gets, and I think that we've done a good job taking a slice of that so that we're seeing a broad range of people, of types of work, of ages. So I think if you've never been to a Wishkinadei Slam before, or if you're one of our biggest fans, I think you'll still enjoy this event just for the diversity of work that you're going to see.
Hi, Christy, and remind everybody again where it is and the cost for admission. Is there a different cost if they're not getting the five-course meal?
Thanks for asking. It's actually...
Yeah, it's not actually on the flyer, so I figured I'd ask you.
Yeah, thanks for asking. It is actually a whole package deal together, and so it's a ticketed event, and tickets are available at bit.ly/wooshpoetry. Woosh Poetry is spelled W-O-O-S-H poetry. Tickets are $80, which is about $15 more than the average Rookery five-course dinner. And so we figure you're getting the strong dinner as well as getting to support our work and getting a solid performance in the mix. So the actual day of the event is next Friday, April 18th, at 6 o'clock at the Rookery.
Okay. It is an exclusive event, too, so we do have limited seating at this point.
Yeah, I think we have about 25 tickets left, something like that.
Okay, so they're going fast.
Mm-hmm.
Get them if you want to go. All right, Christy Nami Erickson and Bill Merck, thank you very much for being our guests in the studio today, and best of luck with your event.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And as I promised, I had a song coming up from Todd Grevy and Cold Country. They're going to be at the 360 Performance Space Saturday, April 12th at 5 p.m., that's here at the KTOO studios, by the way. That's our brand new TV studio. The doors open at 4:30. The show is going to be recorded at 5, and this is all free. We're walking distance from downtown in the KTOO studios and right across the street from the dance hall. Special thanks to the Prospector Hotel and Roswick Giles Music. But here is Todd Grevy and Gold Country with The Last of the Red... Last of the Late Night Wine. It might be red wine, but hard to tell.
Well, the last of the late night wine is winding down, and I'm wound up tight like the cork on a screw going round and round. So you can pass the bottle, but please don't pass me up. Pour a little of the last of the late night wine in my cup, 'cause I don't drink whiskey anymore.
Revolving door, so warm, red
And in the morning I'll cry your name from the cold, cold
Support comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, offering fresh roasted coffees since 1974 and proud supporters of public radio since 1987. Heritage Coffee, committed to community. Information online on Facebook or heritagecoffee.com.
It's 3:45 p.m. and you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. And tonight at the Folk Festival, I'm just going to run you by the list of who's there. Juneau Pride Chorus is going to be on from Juneau, Alaska. Mackenzie Merrill from Juneau. Hopkins Family Band, also from Juneau. Mark and Scott from Northport, Oregon. Costa's Second Line Jamboree from Juneau. Ed Schoenfeld and the Empty Oil Barrel Band. That's a great name. They're from Douglas. So, again, another local band. Densham and Anhita from Fairbanks. Ratto from Orfano, Idaho. Ken Birch from Juneau. Grayscale from Juneau. Hazel and the Jaybirds from Juneau. T. Dasan Delson from Juneau. Soft Old Day from Juneau. Keith Heller and crew from Juneau and the River People from Craig, Alaska. And that should be it for this evening's schedule. It's going to be from 7 o'clock all the way till 11. The MC is going to be Jane Woodenberg, and stage managers are Terry and John Lasky. So again, Alaska Folk Festival, 40th anniversary. Get out to Centennial Hall. It's free starting at 7 o'clock. Actually, if you want a parking space, you better start around 5:30 because you're not going to find one otherwise within a few blocks. All right, now my guests in the studio are no strangers here, but they will be after this week. These are my friends from Eagle Crest, Jeffra Clow and Matt Lillard. Jeffra and Matt, welcome again to the studio, and it's sad to say this is probably the last time I'm going to see you guys until, like, the fall.
Yes, it's true. Things are winding down, Ken, up on the mountain, and this is our final weekend upcoming.
Okay. Matt, let us know how the season's been and what's coming up for the weekend.
Yeah, it's been a great season throughout the whole winter. It's been rather sparse on snow at times, and the past 2 months have kind of been lots of sunshine, which has been great, too, and we've been working on our goggle tan as if we're out in Colorado or California. But it's been some great skiing, and we're always sad to see a season end, but we want to kick it off and end it anyway with 2 great days coming up this weekend. We're picking up a little bit of snow, an inch or two of wet snow over the past couple days, and maybe some more tonight. And then for the weekend, we're looking at temps climbing up into the mid-40s, and hopefully the sun's going to come out a little bit and end it on a strong note with a great end of a season events. And we've definitely got a full slate of things going on. I'll let Jeffra handle those.
Yep, so like Matt said, a full slate of events this weekend. Saturday is our annual Slush Cup, and this is a great event for spectators and participants, and you don't have to be a skier or snowboarder to enjoy this event. So if you do want to participate, registration is on Saturday morning from 10 to 12, and then the Slush Cup kicks off at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be on Lower Hillary's and just down at the bottom of Ptarmigan. So it's a great place, an easy hike up to get up there if you don't ski or snowboard and you just want to see what all the action is. We're going to be firing up the grill about noon and have burgers and bratwurst and all sorts of good food. And we're working with Alaska Brewery this year, and we're going to have a beer garden that's going to start and go from 12:30 to 3:30. So we've got a lot of action on the mountain on Saturday, and the forecast is calling for some sunshine for our slush cup, and our pond will be ready with toys and everything.
What exactly is a slush cup?
Well, it's kind of a traditional rite of passage from the end of winter into spring and the summer. So you race down the hill, and you try and see if you can't ski or snowboard over a large, long pond filled with water.
Oh, dear. This is kind of like running snow machines over a pond and...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Is this the same kind of thing?
Well, yeah, it's a blast. I've been a spectator and I've also participated, and it's a challenge to get across when you're on skis or a snowboard. And I'll tell you, if you don't make it, Yeah, water is cold, but it's certainly refreshing. It makes you know that springtime is here and we'll all be out on the water soon enough. And as a spectator, it's just a blast to watch people go across. People get dressed up in costumes, and, you know, everything zany and otherwise. And, you know, hopefully a lot of people get across. It's also fun to see some wipeouts and watch them go into the water. We've got diver volunteers helping get people get out of the water, and there'll be a nice little kind of a jump to get into it. So it's just a great, fun time. We're going to have, as Jeffer said, food on the grill going up right next to the Slush Cup, as well as a beer garden with Alaska Brewing, and we just can't wait to have a great Saturday celebration.
Boy, it's like a good old-fashioned cold plunge.
That's exactly it. And it's a great celebration of winter, and we all look forward to spring and to the summer. And just as a side note, the Alaska Brewing Company, we're working with them on the beer garden. And the proceeds from this beer garden go to benefit Trail Mix, as well as the Eagle Crest Foundation. So it is a great fundraiser for those two organizations. And whether you ski or snowboard or just want to hike up and enjoy an afternoon in the sun, it's a great spectator sport. And last year we had about 50 people participate, so we're looking for that again. And again, registration for that event is from 10 to 12 on Saturday. You can find out more information on that event at skijuno.com. But it's going to be a great time on the mountain.
All right, both of you, as you look back over the season, is there anything that stood out as far as, you know, how was the weather compared to previous years, snowfall on the mountain? You know, what were we looking at this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here at Eagle Crest. This is my third winter now, and this has definitely been the least amount of snow that I've seen. I know we've had far worse winters, so we're very happy. At the very least, we were skiing, and we had some good snow, and, you know, if it wasn't snowing, it was sunny for the most part. But it definitely wasn't a season full of big storms, but it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great events. We expanded our events calendar, and I think a lot of people really enjoyed those. And so as we look back, it's not, you know, the snowiest winter, and we didn't have any huge, huge powder days, especially in the second half of the season. But all told, we had, you know, a lot of people come up to the mountain. A lot of people learned how to ski. The kids' programs were packed. It's still great to see all those kids progress throughout the year. And, you know, they'll all leave, hopefully, yearning for next fall and next winter as soon as we close up here, close the doors on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to miss both of you in here. And, okay, construction on Porcupine Lodge, that's going to begin in, what, about a week and a half?
Yeah, well, before even that, on Sunday we've got the Porcupine Extravaganza, and that it's an event that has a lot of fun games for kids and also a groundbreaking-type ceremony for the Porcupine Lodge, and I'll let Jeffrey speak on the details of that.
Yep, we're going to, again, celebrate the Porcupine Learning Area, the Porcupine Lift, and the new Porcupine Lodge. So we're going to have some great, fun obstacle courses for kids of all ages, and you just don't have to be a kid to do these obstacle courses. They're going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a scavenger hunt, and it's all centered around the Porcupine Learning Area, and this will start at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to all gather at the location for the new Porcupine Lodge, and we're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony. So we're going to dig through the snow and dig down to dirt and help get the construction of that building started. And
yeah, that's going to be a great addition for Eagle Crest. I'm looking forward to that.
It really is. We really can't wait to get a new facility up at the mountain and expand our offerings, and both with the new building and what we have in the current building. And from a timeline there, we're looking at moving snow from the site right after we close next week, and then the construction crews from North Pacific Erectors will be up towards the end of the week, beginning of next, and starting to break ground after that. So as people come up and go hiking around the mountain this summer, there'll be a whole new facility being built, and it's just a really exciting time for Eagle Crest, continuing on our expansion and more offerings that we have up there, and we are just chomping at the bit to get into a new building next season and just continue the great experience that we've been trying to grow at Eagle Crest.
All right, Jeffra and Matt, I've been so grateful to have you throughout the season with me, and if I don't get an update from you guys in the summer, please come back in the fall and let us know how everything's going with the lodge.
We certainly will, and thanks for having us all season, and we just like to invite everybody up to Eagle Crest this weekend for our final weekend of winter.
Okay, Jeffra Clow and Matt Lillard, thanks again. I've been just privileged to have you throughout the season.
Thank you.
All right, and now I've got one more song to play. This is from, it's actually from Yvette Landry. She's part of Bonsoir Catan, so she's actually the bass player, but this is her own CD, and this is called Doghouse Blues. So one more song from our headliners at the 2014 Folk Festival. Enjoy.
is Bird Note. It's basic black with an inelegant voice. It nests in places we rarely visit, and in relative obscurity, the rusty blackbird has suffered one of the most dramatic population declines ever recorded among our songbirds. Rusties breed in bogs, swamps, and other wetlands across Canada, and just barely into the northeastern U.S. We mostly encounter them northbound during March and April, and southbound in fall, but we're seeing far fewer. During half a century, as bald eagles and peregrine falcons recovered, rusty blackbird numbers plunged by an estimated 90%. Loss of swamps in the southeastern U.S., where they winter, probably explains part of the decline. Other causes might include mercury poisoning and the warming and drying of wetland breeding sites. It's also likely that we overlooked their decline. Blackbirds are generally abundant and resilient. They don't get the same attention we devote to gutsy falcons or vibrant warblers. But the International Rusty Blackbird Working Group, a coalition of biologists and conservationists, is recruiting birdwatchers to track these songbirds during the Rusty Blackbird Spring Migration Blitz. It's happening right now. If you'd like to help the Rusties recover, begin at birdnote.org.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. It's 3:59 p.m. I'm Ken Fix. I've been your host for Juneau Afternoon. Tonight's forecast calling for rain diminishing late with lows around 35 and southeast winds at 10 miles an hour. This is KTOO. We rebroadcast on channels K276 AF in Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Nicey Strait. In Juneau, we're on GCI Digital Cable Channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Have a nice day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
It's the government's biggest effort at crowdsourcing. I mean, they want...